Well, this past week, while I was out on one of my walks, I was listening to a podcast, and it was an interview with a lady who had recently written an article, which I thought was quite fascinating. It was entitled, A Poll, Young Americans Care More About Money Than Making a Family. And so I went and looked up her article and read her article, and this is what she said in her article. Significantly more Americans ages 13 through 22 say it's important to buy a home and make a lot of money, more so than to marry, have children, and commit to a faith. The survey was just done recently. As a matter of fact, it was done at the end of April. And she wrote, a majority of poll respondents said they thought marrying was an important life goal, just not as high number as those rated a house, money, and health as extremely or very important. And then she said something very interesting, and she noticed in the survey, it was worth noting, young people who are religious and attend private high schools and colleges were significantly more likely than their less religious and publicly schooled counterparts to prioritize faith and family. Really, what all this does is it speaks to the way things are viewed these days. This morning, I want to talk about fulfillment. And fulfillment has been defined as to realize completely one's ambitions, potentialities, etc. So it has to do with maybe how we come to define success. It grows out of an inner desire to want to matter or to be noticed or appreciated. And really that question is, does what I do matter? Does what I do count for something? See, fulfillment doesn't come automatically just as a result of, you know, linking up with the right person or scoring that right job or even ministry. So my question to you this morning is, you know, where are you at this time in your life? And maybe there's a reason for why you are where you are or doing what you are doing. This morning I want to do is I want to highlight the lives of four faithful females found in Scripture. And they are all uniquely different, and I chose them for that very reason. There's Deborah, a military leader or commander or a judge, and a prophetess. Then there's Esther, a Jewish orphan who became queen of Persia. Lydia, a successful businesswoman, and Eunice, a homemaker, and mother of Timothy. Because what God does as we look at their stories is God took them where they were at and where they found themselves, and he helped them to see and be open to what he could do through them in whatever station they were at in that particular point in time in their life. See, you can be and have significant influence right where you find yourself. Our first faithful female is Deborah. And you can read her whole story in Judges chapter 4. Israel had been oppressed for some 20 years. And the people had wandered from God, and spiritually they were near bankruptcy. They were under the control of the Canaanites. And the freedom and liberty they had known and loved was gone. And the Israelites were afraid, and they were in serious despair. But God raised up a person who responded to their cry for help. And God's chosen person for this time and place was a woman by the name of Deborah. And I don't really think she went and sought this job. But she was one of those women who willingly step up to the plate when men have given up or not taken responsibility. Deborah had gained the people's confidence. You could call her an agitator. She was able to stir up Israel's concern about its suffering and spiritual condition. And so she just kind of aroused the nation from its lethargy and despair. And all of a sudden, the people rose to the occasion and determined to free themselves from this bondage they were in. So as a true leader, she marshaled the troops. She sent for Barak, one of her military leaders, and told him it was God's will that she should lead her forces and deliver the country. And even though Barak was hesitant, but with her to side, they did it together. And Sisera, who was the commander of the Canaanites, had 100,000 men and 900 chariots, as it says in the story, versus Deborah's 10,000 men. So the odds were totally against them, but with God on their side, they were totally victorious. A faithful female named Deborah seized the opportunity that God had called her to. And God used her in a very special way to bring his people back to himself. And she's played a part in leading a great spiritual renewal among her people. Second faithful female is Esther. You can read her story in the book, Esther. So Esther was this orphan that through a series of events found herself queen of Persia. And as you read the whole story, you come away with the very clear message that God has you where you are for a special reason. And after serving their time in captivity in Babylon, many Jewish people had returned to their own land of Israel. But there were many who stayed behind in Persia. And the book of Esther tells the story of a plot to exterminate the entire Jewish nation in the day of the Persian king Xerxes, and then how it was thwarted. And because of a particular upsetting incident, the king made a decree that all the Jews would be put to death. And the king was unaware of the fact that Esther, the queen, was a Jew. But she was the right person in the right place at the right time. No one else was in that position. And even then, if she were to approach the king unannounced, she could be put to death. Mordecai, a relative, challenged her and said, "You're it, Esther. And if you remain silent, you know what's going to happen." And says, "And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." This is it, Esther. This is your moment. And you see, this is a story I think we all need to hear. Because it's not just Esther. We are all here for a purpose, for a reason. See, God always has someone hidden away for his purposes. And there are so many women in history whom God has seemed to have prepared and kept for the hour in which he needed them. The right person in the right place at the right time. And just as Esther came to a royal position for such a time as this, there are times for which God has planned to use you. God uses people as to be the conduit through which he does his work. Esther courageously said yes. And yes, it all played out to their favor. Who knows the impact our yes can have on others? The third faithful female is a successful businesswoman by the name of Lydia. And her story is in Acts chapter 16. It says she was a maker and seller of purple cloth. And no doubt she was a part of the Dyer's Guild, a professional association for those connected with that particular trade. And because of her hard work and enthusiasm and focus, she prospered greatly. Because only people who dealt in that, they were wealthy and they really truly knew what they were doing. And she owned a spacious home and had a number of servants. And in the middle of her very busy life, she made time for God. It says daily she made her way to the riverbank for a prayer meeting. And one day, the Apostle Paul and his companions went to the river looking for some people that they could share the gospel with. And it says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. It says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. So here's the very, very cool thing. Most agree that Lydia was the first European Christian convert, the first person to come to faith in Christ as being a European. Was this lady Lydia. And she now had Christ as her business partner. And much of her profit was used to assist Christ's servants in the work of the gospel. Her hospitality showed through all that she did. She had an eagerness to give missionaries the hospitality of her home. And her home became a center of Christian fellowship there in the city of Philippi. And also perhaps the first Christian church being formed in Europe met in her home. So in the grand scheme of things, it was probably the hospitality and the financial support this successful Christian businesswoman gave to the apostles that enabled them to carry on the work throughout Europe. She sold purple garments, but she lived to help people wear white garments. What a great story. Our fourth faithful female is Eunice. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Lois, Eunice, and Timothy probably won to faith in Christ by Paul in an earlier visit to Lystra. And in this home, there was this positive Christian training that was going on. She was a faithful, stay-at-home Christian mom. And Eunice imparted the faith to her son Timothy. And through her attention she was able to give to her son, she equipped him for a lifetime of usefulness to God. And Timothy's effectiveness was there possibly because of his faithful mom. There's so much encouragement in the story for women faced with the task of nurturing the spiritual life of her children, especially for those who can't count on the help of maybe a Christian husband or a dad. As the story goes, it becomes obvious that both Eunice and her mother were married to Gentiles, people outside of the faith. But God gave them strength to stay committed to the faith, and he worked through them in some amazing ways. And Timothy became a powerful Christian leader in the early church, thanks to his grandmother and his mom. So these four faithful females, no one better than the other, no task, no job or role more important. But here's the thing, what mattered was that they responded to their opportunities that came into their life in their own particular way, and they said yes. One used her gift of leadership, one her position, one her home and hospitality, and one her position of being a mom. Back to that word fulfillment. See, fulfillment isn't, well, if only I, then. If only this can happen, if only that could happen, if only I could have, then. No, none of that. See, our fulfillment comes when we know who we are in Christ. When we come to faith and we realize that Christ knows me and I bear his name. And that's where my identity is. And I am forgiven and I am a child of God. And when I see where God has put me, placed me, and how he can use me, regardless of what my status is or what I'm doing, he can use that as a channel or a vessel, and I'm just faithful to that, that's where fulfillment is. You see, whatever I do, wherever I live, whatever my position is, it can be used to be a channel to care for others and reflect the love of Christ. So whether I'm a military leader or a stay-at-home mom, fulfillment is in knowing Christ and being a Christian as I do what I do. Women of influence. We read about them from Genesis to Revelation, even in the life of Jesus. Those faithful women who traveled with him, they helped him financially. They offered support and hospitality. In the life of the early church, they prayed. They hosted church in their homes. They helped those in need. They aided Paul. They taught others. They were part of the ministry. The church would crumble if it were not for the faithful females of faith. And think of where our lives would be and where what they would be like if it weren't for faithful moms and grandmas and those people around us, if they weren't there. So much of when I look at my own life and what I've been blessed with and the gifts that I have and the things that I were more, I caught rather than was taught, was through the gift of my mom. The things she taught me just through her example of serving other people and being there and always knowing it was important for my sister and I to go to church and to learn the faith. You learn a lot from those special people that God puts in your lives. And so we thank you who faithfully serve as moms to others. That's where real fulfillment is. Again, our fulfillment comes in knowing who we are in Christ and allowing that identity to be the channel through which we love and serve others. We thank God for faithful people that God works through to affect in our lives and the lives of so many other people. We're thankful for Christ and what he does for us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.